I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here to talk about the 2020 Democratic primary as it is going right now is the RNC national spokesperson, Blair Ellis. Blair, thanks for coming on the show today. Good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me on. A pleasure to be with you, especially after last night's wild and crazy evening.
What's your take on the direction of the Democrats right now? What do you think is the most defining thing about this Democratic primary?
I think it's just how extreme they are. And I think we really got to see it on full display last night, back to back to back. We got to see just how far left all of these candidates continue to move. We've seen at this point, Bernie Sanders has at this point kind of full-throated endorsed convicted terrorists, sex offenders, and murderers to be able to vote from prison. I mean, it's just unbelievable that these are conversations and that these are thoughts that these Democrat candidates are having, and it's alarming more than anything. And I hope that more than just people that tune into CNN last night are kind of following some of these statements, because it is absolutely alarming.
Yeah, I think when, especially the listeners that we talk to every day here on 97.1, the idea of this far progressive socialist ideas of folks like Bernie Sanders and not running for president, but in the House, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and the way a lot of other people, Elizabeth Warren saying she wants to basically forgive all student loan debt, $640 billion of it. It almost seems like a joke to people who are in our, hardcore listenership who support this president. But I'm worried that we're not taking it seriously enough on the Republican side, that this Bernie Sanders has as much support in this primary as a lot of the polls suggest that he does. Do you think that a Bernie Sanders can pull off a nomination from this Democratic Party and challenge the president?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think anything is possible. But I think at this point, the thing that really sticks out to voters about Bernie is that they know where he stands on things, that this isn't Bernie's first rodeo in terms of running for reelection. And we know just how far left he is. And he continues to kind of surprise us every day, including last night, to be honest. But he's a familiar face and a familiar name in the inbox, or the familiar name on Twitter, familiar on TV. And I think that there are just a lot of people that are just original Bernie Sanders supporters that felt like he was really gypped back in 2016 when the DNC kind of laid a hand on the scale and tipped it in favor of Hillary Clinton. I think there are a lot of liberal supporters out there that feel like it's Bernie's time. And I think right now he tends to be polling a little bit higher than I think a lot of people are giving him credit for. I think he's raising a ton of money, and I think people need to start taking it seriously that Bernie Sanders could definitely be somebody who's on the ballot up against Trump come 2020.
I want to play a clip for you here. This is Kirsten Gillibrand.
Right now, Bernie Sanders first in New Hampshire in a new poll today. Pete Buttigieg moving up. Joe Biden has name recognition. Those are the top three. Why do you think white male candidates are doing better than any of the women candidates?
Well, I don't know, but this is a marathon and not a sprint. And I know that I have a vision for this country and the experience to actually get it done and a plan to get it done.
So when you listen to Andrea Mitchell talking to Kirsten Gillibrand there and the concern about a white male candidate doing better than anyone who isn't a white male candidate, the identity politics game is strong with the left. They kind of live and die by it. And it's interesting to look at these polling numbers and see Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, all of these white males on top of this list on the Democratic Party. How does their identity politic game plan fit in with this idea of three white guys at the top of their tickets?
So I think that those three particular candidates are doing much better than a lot of people anticipated, and I think it's definitely taking the liberal base by surprise, and it's probably taken some political pundits and some of the DC insiders, so to speak, by surprise as well. I think that everybody kind of foresaw elevating kind of a younger, a fresher face, whether that be a Kamala Harris or a Cory Booker. And so I think there are a lot of people that had written off people like Bernie or Pete Buttigieg, either because, you know, Bernie has run several times before, or Pete seemed at first a little bit of a newcomer. But I think that kind of what we're learning is maybe the Democrat base doesn't know what they want, and maybe we shouldn't cast a stereotype of, oh, they want a young and a fresh face. Maybe they do want a Bernie Sanders. Maybe they like the idea of they know what they're getting with a Bernie versus someone who's a little younger and a little newer to the political scene, may not have as strong of a record in their mind as that of Bernie. And so I think, again, we need to take every contender that is in this Democrat field right now very seriously. We don't need to write anybody off. I think the Republican Party, at least the RNC and Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel, are taking every candidate very seriously, and we're ready to put them up against Trump's record any day.
Well, you mentioned Pete Buttigieg. Let's listen to this from him.
I also think it's important that we not drown people in minutiae before we've vindicated the values that animate our policies. Because as Democrats, this is a habit that we have. We go right to the policy proposals, and we expect people to be able to figure out what our values must be from that. I expect that it will be very easy and clear to tell where I stand on every specific policy challenge of our time. But I'm going to take the time to lay that out while also talking about values and everyday impacts, rather than competing strictly on the theoretical elegance of the proposals themselves.
So Pete Buttigieg there talking about establishing values before policy and saying that Democrats have a rough time of putting policies out there and having people understand their values. Kind of think it's the opposite. I don't see a lot from the Democrats coming out and being like policy, policy, policy. It's always kind of puppy sunshines and rainbows. If you elect a Democrat, it's all about the feelings. That's my take on it, at least.
Totally, totally. I think at this point, the only real policy proposals that we've seen put forth by Democrats are the ones that are completely extremist and unaffordable. I mean, we've seen a $32 trillion government-run healthcare proposal from Bernie and from others that's going to abolish private health insurance. We've seen a $93 trillion Green New Deal that's going to put an incredible tax burden on every American in this country. And then other proposals they're kind of willing to not take a stance on, i.e., what do we do about the crisis at our border? But what are their proposals? Let's support open borders. Let's abolish ICE. Let's tear down existing border walls. So, you know, I'm with you. I think the only thing that Democrats are good for is appealing to emotions. They don't have substantive policies, and they certainly don't have a way to pay for any of those substantive policies either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you listen to Elizabeth Warren and her $640 billion college debt payoff, and this is going to be on an annual tax of the top 2% annual tax on $50 million or more in wealth families. This is how she's going to cancel $640 billion of debt and provide free universal college. We just had a caller call in right now. It says, what happens when those people leave the country? If you're talking about a finite group of individuals, you know, are these people going to fund the liberal arts degrees that are going to turn into no jobs after they get out of college for the rest of us? Is that the Elizabeth Warren plan?
Right, right. Again, there's no way to pay for it. And to a certain extent, let's talk about how that's going to really penalize the people in this country, students in this country that have taken it upon themselves to prioritize paying back and paying off their student loans. What a slap in the face to those kids that were really stretched bill to bill, month to month, but made it a priority to pay back and pay off their student loans. And yet here Elizabeth Warren is saying, oh, never mind, you have debt, you have bills you haven't paid off, we'll just wipe it clean and forgive you for all your sins, no worries. That's not teaching accountability. That's not teaching how to prioritize budget or spending. That's also not teaching any kind of responsibility to our future generations. This is certainly not a viable thought from Elizabeth Warren, and it's just not a responsible way to steward taxpayer dollars and to encourage people to pursue degrees that are going to have a worthwhile ROI.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Last question before we let you go. We're speaking with the RNC national spokesperson, Blair Ellis. We hear Joe Biden's going to be getting into the race probably this Thursday with an online video, and then he's going to start the campaign trail. He seems to be pretty moderate. He seems to, at least according to relatively speaking with what the Democratic primary has for us so far. Is there going to be an appetite for that? Does he seem like a viable candidate as well for Donald Trump in 2020?
You know, I'm unsure how I think Biden's going to fit into this 2020 field. I think there are a lot of people that like the idea of a Biden, but then there's also the side of me that thinks that Biden's trying to really paint himself as this far leftist, and he was. I mean, as Obama's kind of right-hand man, he is somebody who ultimately backed the failed Iran nuclear deal that was put forth and ultimately oversaw a lot of the Russia, you know, or lack thereof, wasn't able to put a thwart on the Russian cyber meddling that took place during the 2016 election under the Obama administration. There's a lot of kind of policies that Biden's going to have to own because of his association with the Obama administration. I'm interested to see how he distances himself and what far-left proposals he's willing to start embracing, because the rest of the 2020 Dem field is having to do that right now.
I think it'll be interesting to watch and see how far left they're willing to go. Blair Ellis with the RNC National Spokesperson, thanks so much for coming on the show today. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.